is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're at the War Room. I'm Roger Stone with my colleague Owen Schroyer. And you're at Freedom Command Central. That's right. It's the War Room. And we look forward to your active participation today. We are in the midst of a mainstream media fake news lynch mob mentality, which every single day seems to get more ludicrous and more ridiculous. Most recently, we have a report on CNN that on August 1st, I told Alex Jones in an interview that the WikiLeaks disclosures from about Hillary Clinton would be devastating. And they were. Way back in June of 2016, Assange himself, in an interview with the very own CNN, told them he had the goods on Hillary. Now, by connecting my comments with Alex Jones on August 1st to an allegation that I met with Julian Assange in London on August 2nd, two and two equal six. You see, the problem is I have provided absolute stone-cold proof that I was in California on August 1st, 2nd, and returning on the 3rd. And even I, Roger Stone, cannot be in two places at once. So the entire narrative of the clowns at CNN collapses around their ankles. How embarrassing. Owen, welcome back to the War Room.
Well, it's just more nonsense that you get from the mainstream media, Roger. And it doesn't matter where the facts lead. It doesn't matter what evidence is clear and present. They continue to go on their narratives. And in fact, I was going through a video list here today, and we've got a video, Roger, of Tucker Carlson with Jorge Ramos. And they've got this talking point where they just want to make, see, they want to drum up a bunch of hatred towards Trump. So they make it a race issue. So Jorge Ramos goes on Tucker Carlson and says, Trump wants to make America white again, in order to foment a bunch of hatred for Trump in what they view, the left views, as minorities. But it's not working, Roger. We've got more reports today. Trump's approval rating pops to 51%. Unemployment rates are hitting record lows. Jobs growth continues to happen. Manufacturing industry is back. So, you know, the more they come out and lie and demonize and try to instill hatred, I think the more it's just going to backfire on the Jorge Ramoses and the CNNs of the world.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned my friend Tucker Carlson. I'm honored to say that Tucker has written the introduction for my new book, Stone's Rules, which is the operating manual for anyone who wants to succeed in politics or business or life, for that matter. And it was only yesterday that he was reminding me that when Tucker was on CNN and he wanted to book me for his show, the powers that be, a producer above him, nixed my appearance because I am, quote unquote, too controversial. Tucker's absolutely right. Controversy is what brings ratings. And I'm delighted that the so-called ban on Roger Stone at MSNBC, at CNN, has been completely toppled. I've appeared on both since being banned. And of course, I'm delighted to be back on Fox with my friends Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and of course, Tucker Carlson. You, on the other hand, are at the War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. We are the tip of the spear. We are Freedom Command Central, and we will be right back. Welcome Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Roger Stone, broadcasting today from sunny South Florida, where it's an extraordinary day, working closely with my colleague Owen Schroyer, who's in the bunker in an undisclosed location outside of Austin, Texas, where the hardworking InfoWars crew works with us to bring you the very best investigative reporting and pro-freedom broadcasting on the planet. That's right, you're at the War Room. So, Owen, I think it's very interesting to see the attempts to undermine the president as the economy soars, as the president finds his footing, gets a stronger team around him, moving now against the Silicon Valley clique that would seek to limit our First Amendment rights, moving against the mandatory vaccination people, creating a religious or conscious out for that, moving very aggressively to negotiate a peace with the North Koreans and denuclearize that country. Donald Trump is already going to go down today as one of the greatest presidents in history. If for no other reason, he reversed the economic slide of this country. GDP under Donald Trump is up 100%. The economy grew at 3%, thought during the campaign to be unreasonable, impossible, outrageous. The best Barack Obama could ever do is a 1.5 average over time. Virtually recessionary, anemic growth at best. But we were told under Obama, America's best days are behind us. We just have to accept less. This is the new global economy where America is no longer the leader. Wrong. Proved wrong by President Donald J. Trump. God, Owen, it's great to be an American, and it's great to have a real American in the White House.
Well, and that is, simply put, how to summarize this. If you really want to look at a basic analysis of Trump compared to Obama, Obama anti-American globalist, Trump pro-American nationalist. And so that's why we're seeing the contrasting approaches to foreign policy, to the economy. But again, Roger, like I was saying in the last segment, the news can lie all they want about President Trump. They can bring on Stormy Daniels all day long to 60 Minutes, but if the average American is seeing more protection, more safety, a better economy, more opportunity for jobs, a better opportunity for growth personally, you know, whatever hatred they may have had for Trump or that they think is existing for Trump, when they go to the ballot box to vote, that's what they're going to be thinking, Roger. That's going to be on their minds. And it's just amazing. They just continue to attack. They use the race baiting. They use the, you know, separating because of a man or a woman. Oh, Trump hates women. These men that voted for Trump just control their women. And it's just sick. And it's like, why don't you report on the jobs numbers? Why don't you report on border security? We put out the War Room poll of the day today, Roger, at War Room Show on Twitter, because it's halfway through the week and we've already got such great news. Trump talking about pulling out of Syria. Trump's approval rating hits 51%. We've got jobs numbers that were just in that once again beat the estimations. And Trump is sending the military to the border and making sure that we have a secure border. I mean, every American should be happy about this. This is pro-American news.
Well, what bothers me more, Owen, in all honesty, is this new propensity on the left for violence. An incredible story yesterday about a woman in a New York City restaurant. When she was overheard saying something positive about the president, she was assaulted and attacked by two other patrons in the restaurant who then fled. Yesterday, inadvertently, One America News posted an email that I had exchanged with the always unreliable Sam Nunberg. And unfortunately, in doing so, they published an old email address of mine, but it's an email that still forwards to me. It's not an email that's in common use. I got literally hundreds of death threats and other threats last night from libtards who don't understand that this only fires me up for the battle. Contacting me at 1 o'clock in the morning and telling me that I'm a peace sub is not going to do any harm to me other than motivating me. But the hatred, the drooling hatred on the left, which you see particularly at Twitter, and directed at Alex Jones, directed at myself, directed at you, Owen, the dripping hatred of the left is really concerning because they are moving inexorably towards violence. You want to threaten me? I'm an adult, and I'm a man. You want to threaten my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and yes, sick, my dogs, you're making a big mistake.
Well, it's a fair concern to have, Roger, because at the end of the day, even though we are very charged up about politics, we do get fired up, we do get passionate, and you know, we do care about this stuff. We're not acting up here. We really do have this passion. But it stops. We have a line where we don't get violent. We don't take this home with us. We don't hold grudges personally unless people just continue to try to tear us down. But with an average person that I have different political views, I mean, I know, Roger, you're friends with plenty of people in media that have different views than you. You guys can still go to dinner. You can still break bread and you know, share a glass of wine or whatever at the end of the night. And what worries me is that our opposition, if you want to call it that, sadly, that's what it's become, even though we're all Americans. The people that hate us, as you were alluding to, are getting violent. They're getting more radical. They're getting more enraged. And there seems to be no control. There seems to be no discipline. And the thought leaders of the left, instead of saying, hey, look, you know, let's calm down here. Let's maintain some integrity. Let's maintain some class. We've got another election coming up. This is how America works. They say, no, go out in the streets. Roger Stone bad. They're all Russian agents. We're at war with Russia. They're working for the enemy. So it's like there is no governor on this. They just keep going forward with nobody telling them, hey, let's check ourselves before we wreck ourselves here.
No, I think you summed this up the other day in one of the best analogies I've heard, Owen, which is the progenitors of fake news, the Daily Beast, the Salons, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the true purveyors of bullshit. They're like the drug dealers. They're providing the crack. Their constituency are the cracked addicts. They eat this stuff up and believe it's all true, and then they are the ones who are charged up with violence or for violence. I've reached the point where now I can no longer travel without a bodyguard. If I'm in New York City, that make that two, or San Francisco, for example. It's a sad commentary when you can't travel unaccosted across the country, but that's where we are today. Now add to it the fact that I'm bearing over $500,000 of legal expenses, which is probably a pittance compared to what Alex Jones and InfoWars are looking at because of their new strategy of filing harassment, frivolous lawsuits where it costs you $100,000, $150,000 just to move in court to dismiss these suits. Well, it's a willful strategy to bankrupt us. It's exactly what they have in mind. We have no intention of quitting. We have no intention in throwing in the towel. I'm going to be going on a number of major shows next week to carry the InfoWars flag and to explain exactly why the whole phony narrative regarding Julian Assange, a non-existent trip to London, and so on is bogus. You're on The War Room. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The War Room. That's Soul Brother number one, the hardest working man in show business, the late James Brown, bringing us in with his iconic Living in America. I'm Roger Stone here with my co-host, Owen Schroyer. We're taking on the fake news libtards, whether it is The Daily Beast, CNN, MSNBC, and their ilk, and humiliating them, mocking them, taking their twisted, perverse narrative that they try to impose on the body politic and exposing it for the bullshit that it is. Delighted to be here with my colleague, Owen Schroyer. Owen, you're looking at the news. We have, of course, the anniversary of the murder of one of our greatest Americans, Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, most people don't realize that Dr. King and his father, Daddy King, Dr. Martin Luther King Sr., were both Republicans, that Dr. King thanked Vice President Richard Nixon in 1958 for rounding up the votes to pass landmark civil rights legislation held up by the Democrats in the U.S. Senate, and that the King family filed a wrongful death civil suit against the federal government in the wake of Reverend King's murder, suing the U.S. Secret Service, the FBI, and the Memphis Police Department. They won that lawsuit. In fact, the fruits of that civil lawsuit prove that there was a federal governmental conspiracy to murder and silence Dr. Martin Luther King. Why? Well, because Dr. King had become an ardent critic of the Vietnam War, and because wiretaps on Dr. King that were placed on the orders of President Lyndon Baines Johnson revealed a conversation in which Dr. King told one of his associates that he planned to endorse New York Senator Robert F. Kennedy for president before the California primary. Within days, Dr. King was dead. How long do you think it took FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover to get that recording to Lyndon Johnson's desk? Johnson had already dropped out of the presidential contest, but was worried that his nemesis, Robert Kennedy, would win the presidency, reopen the investigation into who murdered JFK, and bring the perps, which I believe include Vice President, later President, Lyndon Baines Johnson himself, to justice. So it is important to note there's a terrific new book out by Phil Nelson about the murder of the murder of Dr. King that is well worth your time. It points the finger directly at Lyndon Johnson and, yes, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. Who really murdered King? The case against Johnson and Hoover, out now from Skyhorse Publishing by Philip Nelson. A book that is very much worth your time. Owen, do you have thoughts on the anniversary of Dr. King's murder?
Well, I remember when I first learned of the lawsuit filed by Martin Luther King Jr.'s family regarding the murder and the government ties and then winning that lawsuit. It's an interesting bit of history that isn't taught in history class. It isn't taught to students in America. That's one of those things you just have to find out for yourself. And, you know, it just makes you scratch your head. And it's just another one of those things where an iconic figure gets murdered and then the FBI or whatever government bureaucracy is involved in the investigation covers up the truth for whatever reason. And then we only are able to learn about it years down the road, so we can't even handle it in real time to actually solve whatever the problems are at that time. So, you know, it's just amazing to me that something like that just escapes the history books. You know, you've got the JFK papers that Trump declassified. You know, those won't be in the history books either. They'll still maintain the lone shooter theory and all of regularly taught history throughout education in America. And they won't teach you about Martin Luther King's family's lawsuit. And you have Martin Luther King Jr.'s niece, who is very outspoken in support of President Trump. Yet it's amazing how they'll completely ignore that and ignore the conservative politics of Martin Luther King Jr., but yet the liberals will embrace him for everything that he was, but ignore his conservative politics and his family still to this day conservative politics.
Dr. King preached nonviolence his entire life, and that's why he was so very great. Perhaps it was hard to see in the moment, but I wasn't really old enough to understand all of it at the time. It is absolutely clear to me that Dr. King, like Robert Kennedy, like John F. Kennedy, was murdered by the deep state for political motives. What's interesting to me is that CNN doesn't cover this question. Where's the CNN special on the King family lawsuit that they won in the federal courts? I must have missed that documentary. In fact, CNN is among the worst when it comes to not reporting any of the facts regarding the murder of President Kennedy or Dr. King or Senator Kennedy, for that matter. They are part of the cover-up, not part of the truth-telling. It's why I don't watch CNN, for the same reason that I don't eat out of the toilet. They are not a news organization. They're a propaganda front churning out anti-Donald Trump hate ad nauseum round the clock. Evidence, proof, facts, these things no longer matter. What matters is charge and innuendo. Really, the folks at CNN, quite truthfully, should be ashamed of themselves. By intimating, as they do only hours ago, that I spoke to Alex Jones on August 1st and predicted on the Alex Jones show that the Hillary Clinton material published by WikiLeaks would be devastating, which it was, and then trying to connect that to a non-existent trip to London to meet Julian Assange, which I've proved never happened, is a distraction. What's a distraction of? It's very simple. The Obama administration, the NSA, the Department of Justice, and the FBI are caught in the greatest violation of the Constitution and the greatest surveillance spy scandal in American history. They were using a fake narrative and a fake dossier to legally justify the surveillance of the Republican candidate for president of the United States. Sorry, this makes Watergate look like small potatoes. My question is obvious. What did Obama know, and when did he know it? When will he be questioned under oath, and when will he be indicted? Those are the questions CNN seems to be ignoring.
And we need to bring these people to justice now so that we can stop people like them from getting into government and taking things over in the future and acting like criminals. We'll be right back with Roger Stone. Don't go anywhere.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Roger Stone. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. You're on The War Room with your co-hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. One of the things that Owen and I have tried to do is to bring you coverage of some of the most exciting and potentially successful challengers in the 2018 elections. It was Owen Schroyer who discovered the candidacy of Omar Navarro, hard charging against Maxine Waters in that California district. Today, joining us is yet another one of those candidates who we are confident CNN won't be interviewing, that MSNBC won't be profiling, that CBS will not be highlighting. Carla Spaulding joins us now from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where she is a candidate for Congress. Welcome to the War Room again, Carla Spaulding.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. How are you?
We're terrific. Owen and I are delighted that you can join us. Now, your district, of course, is encompasses the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, and the horrific shootings there have become ground zero for a discussion of gun control in this country. Wait a minute, scratch that. Not so much a discussion, but a diatribe by those who somehow, for misleading or misguided reasons, believe that a legal prohibition of guns would remove guns from American society. So to start this off, how has that issue and the events in your district impacted your campaign and your race against Deborah Wasserman Schultz, public enemy number one?
Well, to start off with, again, thanks. But right now, with our campaign, it has really impacted some in the fact that you are correct. CNN, the students had a walkout, and CNN was there, and they actually did interview me. So what I did do, I actually interviewed the students myself and did a small tape on, we do have it on our YouTube site, and really found out what their thoughts were regarding the school shooting, which I think is important. As a candidate running, I truly believe that the district, how it's been impacted right now, it's not so much only about just the gun control. What the Democrats would really want is to get rid of the guns. I think that security is the bigger issue for me. I think school safety is very important, and I think we're missing the point. No matter what, the student needs to be safe in school, whether it's from the terrorist attack, whether it's from a car, just even at FIU, the bridge collapsed. To me, that's still a safety, that's still an issue. So moving forward, I think together we need to understand the difference between guns and the safety of our children in the schools. So we were talking about from the children, their thoughts were really some who did not agree with what CNN or the Democrats or the liberals begin, you know, think of. They're shy. And they're also concerned that we are not really expressing their thoughts and their ideas. No, another thing too that, Roger, we have not discussed is the mental health issue. That's a huge part that was misdiagnosed, overlooked. There are just many different things that we did not even pay attention to. And the bottom line is that we need to come together as a community to help with these issues.
Well, it seems to me indisputable that since the alleged shooter, Cruz, had been Baker acted and put into involuntary treatment for mental disorders and was being medicated by the state, theoretically, he should have been unable to purchase a firearm. His name should have popped up on the registry of those who were prohibited. The system is broken. There was an instance that should have prohibited him from getting a gun. You're absolutely right, Carla. The issue here is not the gun. The issue is mental illness. I don't know anyone in the NRA who disagrees with the idea that people who are mentally ill should not be able to obtain a firearm. Alex Jones believes that. I know Owen believes it. I believe it. Every thinking American believes it. But the issue is not the gun. The issue is the access to the gun. Owen, I'm going to let you jump in here because when it comes to these firearms issues, you are very knowledgeable.
Well, and I just got to say, too, I think that, Carla, what you said there really kind of hit home for me. What the political left tries to do is whenever you have an event like this, take the Florida shooting, is they take the event and then they put the microscope on the gun. And then as part of their agenda, their messaging is to associate guns with violence. So a school shooting that was done by a student who was bullied or what have you, obviously had his own mental problems, went and shot up the school. Then you had the stand down of the local law enforcement. But then what do? Again, they highlight the gun. They magnify the gun. And then their messaging is guns equal violence, and that's what becomes the event, is that guns equal violence. So everything that happened in the Florida shooting becomes irrelevant, and the whole story becomes guns equal violence. But what you were talking about, which is really the messaging that we should fight back with, is that guns prevents violence. Guns can prevent violence. Guns can prevent a mass shooting. Look at what happened in Maryland with a prevented mass shooting because of a good guy doing his job with a gun. So the left's messaging is always to equate guns to violence. And we need to fight back and say, no, look, if the message is let's protect students, then let's protect students. Let's not have a political agenda against guns. Let's actually protect students. And that's what you were saying.
Yes, and I think that's the point that we're missing. We're really not addressing the true problem, which is this is why I'm running. Ultimately, we have to look at the bottom line. What is the cause? What's the root cause? And right now, the root cause is not the gun. The root cause is that this student had mental problems that was ignored by many. The complete system failed him, from the home, the school, police department, I mean, just everything failed this particular student, Cruz. So my point is, if we can really address the issue of safety, safety should include not just the guns, but should include what is just like, for example, if you have a bank or a business, the first thing you do, you want to make sure that you have an alarm system, you make sure you have guards, you make sure you have codes, everything in place. We don't have that for a student. We don't have much in place when it comes to safety for students. We just don't. So we don't need to blame. I think what we need to do is actually look at the students, come up with a plan in place for the future so we don't have this keep occurring. And also separately address the guns. As to say, mental health patients, somehow there has to be a system where it's connected, where if someone has a mental illness, they're not able to have access to the gun. So it's having the access is what we need to be focusing on, and the regulations regarding that.
All right. But you know what, Carlos Balda?
Yes. Roger.
Because I want to make sure we get this in.
Mm-hmm.
With about a minute to go here, Carla, I want to make sure people know how to reach you and your campaign if they want to support you. So tell us how folks can find you, because that's an important element. Where do they go?
Well, you can reach me at spaldingforcongress.com, which is S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G for Congress, F-O-R, congress.com. And it's amazing. That's the website. You can go on their YouTube, just type in Carla Spalding. YouTube, it comes up. And we're actually having an event tomorrow, Roger, at the Doubletree Hotel in Hollywood. But you can go online and you'll see it. And then come and join us. And we have lots of food to eat. And come out and talk to me. I'm willing to talk to anyone who's willing to listen. And listen, guys, we have to keep reminding our Republicans not to be afraid. Come out and vote, speak up. We cannot stay silent, and we have been silent. And this is the problem. Our president needs our help. And if we don't get our stuff together by 2020, he will not have us.
Thanks again to Carla Spalding, waging an uphill but exciting campaign for Congress against Deborah Wasserman Schultz. She read her website for you, Spalding, no U, S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G, for Congress.com. Please consider visiting her site and sending her a generous contribution. I want to say one more word while we're at it about my favorite product at the InfoWars store, Brain Force Plus. Now, right now, this is offered in a special combo package with the Red Pill. The Red Pill is a great vitamin and mineral formula that's good for the body, where, of course, Brain Force is good for the mind. That's why we call this a mind and body combo. And right now, you can get this incredible combination for $59.95. Pardon me, for, I think the combination is $59.95. That's a regular cost of $119 plus. take advantage of this extraordinary mind and body challenge. This, again, $59.90, I was off by 5 cents. This is among the very best products, combinations that you can find. I've been satisfied on an individual basis with both of them, but now I am taking them together. Now, the truth is the red pill takes 7 to 10 days to take effect, where I have found that Brain Force Plus is immediate. Within 15 or 20 minutes, particularly on an empty stomach, you will feel the benefits almost immediately. Do yourself a favor. Do us here at InfoWars a favor. Do the Fight for Freedom a favor. Go to the InfoWars site now and pick up some Red Pill and Brain Force Plus, or any other of the terrific all-natural products that we offer on the site. While you're at it, check out our T-shirt of the Month Club, where you can get First Amendment-oriented T-shirts that are guaranteed to trigger the libtards. You wear one of these T-shirts to dinner, somebody's going to get in your face. Gives you an opportunity to tell them why you believe in freedom, why you believe in the Constitution, why you believe and love the United States of America. Join the T-shirt of the Month Club. Get your T-shirts while you can. There's a lot of terrific T-shirts coming online with First Amendment and pro-freedom themes. This is also where you go to get your Trump Pence 2020 T-shirt, your Hillary for Prison 2018 T-shirt. We're not giving up on that one, folks. But when you buy these T-shirts, you're not only become a walking billboard for freedom and liberty, you support the cause of a free press and the First Amendment. So please go to the InfoWars site now. Take a look at these terrific T-shirts and other apparel items, as well as our nutraceuticals, and support us in the ongoing fight for freedom. Owen?
Roger, actually, I'm going to go ahead and do my mind and body challenge right now here live on air. Got a couple of Brain Force here. Got a couple of the real red pill right here. Let me grab my water here. Let me just go ahead and choke these down, Roger. I got a couple more hours of radio to do while you sign off.
There you have it, folks. You can see a live demonstration of the mind-body challenge. I myself am going to take this opportunity to hit my super male vitality. I have big plans with Mrs. Stone tonight, and therefore, I, right here on air, I'm going to... I've got that Michael Zimmerman surge of strength and vitality. I'm looking forward to a great evening.
Roger, I'm hearing that as soon as you sign off, you're actually just going to turn right around and just run a couple miles down the beachfront just to get a little exercise in.
Well, unfortunately, I have to go down to Miami for a meeting. But, you know, I usually, like you, Owen, I work well past midnight every night. It's the only time the phone isn't ringing and you don't have to deal with as much incoming. Gives me a chance to write. My upcoming book, Stone's Rules, will be in bookstores May 15th. This is essentially a book that I had to write after hours and has been many years in the making. I'm honored to have an introduction by my friend Tucker Carlson. And if whether you want to know how to punk the liberals, how to play the mainstream press libtards like CNN, or how much linen to show at the cuff of a properly tailored suit, or if you're looking for my mother's recipe for marinara, it's all here in Stone's Rules. You can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Books A Million and pre-order your copy now. Very soon, however, it will be available at the InfoWars store at a very special price. So I encourage you to look for Stone's Rules. Oh, and I know this is a book that you are going to enjoy. As a man of style yourself, you don't need all of these fashion tips, but I think there's even a few things in here that you will enjoy.
Well, you can always learn, but I know I will certainly be enjoying the family recipe for marinara sauce. That is going to be one that the critics are going to be raving about, I'm sure.
Well, the key to a great marinara is the use of San Marzano tomatoes. These are imported canned tomatoes. Now, look at the label very carefully. If the label on the can says San Marzano style tomatoes, you're being conned. San Marzano is not a brand name. It's a type of tomato. They are canned and imported by a number of large reputable companies like Cento and others. But don't be scammed. Any tomato sauce, any bolognese, any marinara made without San Marzano tomatoes will be inferior. You can get.
Oh, I thought San Marzano. I thought that was your cousin.
Well, I wish it was. It is a region of Italy where these extraordinary plum tomatoes are grown. This is the best of the best, and the recipe, as I say, is in my upcoming book, Stone's Rules.
Roger, there are a couple stories I want to cover with you before you sign off here for the day. Of course, President Trump's approval rating pops to 51%. That is very good news for him and for his 2020 campaign, as he's more popular than Obama. And this story from The Hill, Roger, the headline, "When will the media accept that Trump is not a criminal target?" Well, I'm not ready to go that far, because it wouldn't surprise me if Mueller does announce Trump as a criminal target at some point. I mean, this guy's totally unhinged. He's broadening himself. He's broadening himself into the fourth dimension just to find any evidence of collusion. But the real headline, or the real story to me, is when will the media accept that Trump won the election? When will the media accept he didn't collude with Russia? And when will the media accept he's actually popular? Three things that the media has been denying for 2 years, Roger. 2 years they've been in denial of these facts. That, to me, is the headline The Hill should have ran with. When will the media accept that Trump won, he didn't collude with Russia, and that he's actually popular? And will that ever happen, Roger?
You know, The Hill really disappoints me. They have a story up right now, the headline of which is Roger Stone says he dined with Assange. You can read that story, and no place will it tell you that I have provided absolute irrefutable proof that I was in Southern California on the very same days that I am alleged by Sam Nunberg in the Wall Street Journal to have been in London with Julian Assange. Not that there would be anything wrong with meeting Assange had I done so, which very emphatically I did not. But under the mainstream demented media rubric, Assange is a Russian asset, and therefore meeting with him, communicating with him, receiving anything from him, well, that
would
be
treasonous. Hold on, Roger. Roger, hold on. I think it's time to come clean here. I think this is just weighing on me, Roger. I think it's time to come clean. And I'm gonna start the train here. That same night, I was dining with Freddie Mercury on Mars. Yes, I was dining with Freddie Mercury on Mars. Roger, that's what I was doing that night. You were also dining with Assange. It's time to come clean.
You know, I think Alex Jones was having dinner with Kim Jong-un that night, as I recall. No, this is taking on a ridiculous connotation. But the people at The Hill should be ashamed of themselves. Folks, thanks for joining us here at the War Room. From Roger Stone, my colleague Owen Schroyer, who will soldier forward, we appreciate your support. We appreciate your support for the InfoWars store. God bless you, and God bless America. Owen Schroyer on the other side.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
It's a chilling juxtaposition. The female mass shooter that shot and injured one man critically and two women, resulting in serious and fair conditions at the YouTube headquarters in San Bruno, California, wasn't in a bizarre love triangle gone fatal attraction as was poorly speculated by the geniuses over at CNN. Nassim Aghdam, a 30-ish Persian female vegan animal rights activist, grappling for the YouTube chimera of instant fame and fortune, had lost her audience and monetization.
Being discriminated and filtered on YouTube, and I'm not the only one. So recently, they also attacked my Persian channel, Nassim Saps. And if you go and check my videos, you see that my new videos hardly get views, and my old videos that used to get many views, I stopped getting views. So this is because I'm being filtered. And another thing, they age restricted my ab workout video. A video that has nothing bad in it, nothing sensual. Why they did that? Because it got famous and was getting many views. So they age restricted that video to keep it from getting views. People like me are not good for big businesses, like for animal business, for medicine business, and for many other businesses. That's why they are discriminating and censoring us.
BuzzFeed reports Aghdam's father, Ismail, said she had been missing for several days and was located by police in Mountain View, California, early Tuesday morning. He told the Mercury News that he had informed police his daughter might be going to YouTube because she hated the company.
There may be some developments here that right now, at this very moment, federal officials are investigating some loose ends that they're concerned about to make sure this is, quote, only a domestic incident. They are making sure that there isn't something else because, as one of the sources said, things are starting not to add up. At least they are causing some concern.
Female mass shooters are rare. As Live Science reported, female mass killers are so rare that it just hasn't been studied, said James Garbarino, a psychologist at Loyola University Chicago, who has researched human development and violence. There aren't enough cases, said Garbarino, who spoke to Live Science in 2015 after a mass shooting in San Bernardino, California, which involved a female shooter. In roughly a year's time, YouTube has amassed an army of censors tasked with tinkering with the national conversation, shutting down conservative viewpoints in the land of the First Amendment.
So we do pro-America. We believe in economic freedom.
Currently, there are about 250 PragerU videos on YouTube. They're targeted for a younger viewership. PragerU says 60% of their audience is under 34. But they've encountered a problem.
We noticed that some of the videos were getting restricted, and more of them were getting restricted as the months went by.
The New York Times reports, in a blog post from Susan Wojcicki, YouTube's chief executive, the company said on Monday that it planned to add thousands of human reviewers to remove videos that violated its guidelines while teaching computers how to spot troublesome videos. YouTube plans to have 10,000 people dedicated to reviewing videos in 2018.
The rules are there to maximize the quality of discourse and ability for everybody to have a voice. Of course, if you're on one side versus and you see that as censorship, I get that argument. I think the question is, are you adding value or not?
Nassim Aghdam is truly an anomaly in the kings of digital culture's ongoing experiment to meddle with the envelope of Americans' inherent rights to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the freedom of the press. Get off your high horse, Silicon Valley. These freedoms are the law of the land. John Bound reporting for Infowars.com.
We'll be right back.
So I'm discussing with the crew this situation with the shooter, the female shooter that goes to YouTube, 39-year-old Nasim Aghdam, Iranian woman who lived in San Diego. The whole thing is just strange to me, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously she had some sort of a weird mental tic. And then some of the crew points out, like, she fits right into the liberal crowd, but I don't really think that she is in the liberal crowd. She just kind of has some ideologies that the liberals have claimed are their own, like being vegan, which is anybody can be vegan. There's plenty of conservatives that are vegan. I know them. But she obviously had some sort of a weird mental tic. Her family had warned police that she could be a threat. And you can see just kind of the weirdness of her videos. There's the other cultural aspect, the culture shock between the Middle East and the United States. You know, she comes to America. She thinks that this is, you know, she's a woman here. She has the right to free speech. She's not going to be persecuted. And then she sees herself in her mind being persecuted on YouTube, and then perhaps just loses everything and snaps and figures, wow, I'm a woman. As a woman, I can't go anywhere and be free. I couldn't be free where I'm from. I can't be free in America. I get censored on YouTube, and then just eventually snaps and killed herself. But you know what? Let's actually go to this clip right now, guys. Let's roll clip 4, because while you don't have... Isn't it amazing? The Florida school shooting will dominate the headlines more from this point forward than the Maryland school shooting and the YouTube shooting, because this Florida school shooting fits their agenda. The Maryland school shooting doesn't fit their agenda. This YouTube shooting doesn't fit their agenda. So it'll just kind of pass through the pipeline, and they'll stay focused on the Florida shooting because that's what they're using to drum up their anti-Second Amendment rhetoric and protest. But listen to one of the witnesses from the shooting at YouTube yesterday on Fox News.
What's going through your mind with, I mean, people dropping, being shot multiple times, bullets whizzing, people bleeding? What's going through your mind?
Well, Leslie was on my mind, but at the same time, I knew, you know, I had to be smart. You know, you got to be smart. You got to be fast. You got to think fast, because smart. I didn't have a gun on me, but wish I did.
And there it is. And there it is. Didn't have a gun on me. YouTube's a gun-free zone. Somehow this Nasim Aghdam was able to get one in there. I need to find out. I mean, what sort of magic did she have to get that gun past the gun-free zone sign? I mean, folks, if you can beat the gun-free zone sign on the door, you have to be some sort of, I mean, genius. That's the real threat. How did she get a gun past the no guns allowed sign? That's the big story here. That's like wizardry. Oh my gosh. Our plate is so overfilled at InfoWars, we can't even get done half the stuff that we should. And that's why it's up to you, the audience out there, to take your ideas and manifest them yourself. Someone sent me an absolutely brilliant idea, and I'm just going to go ahead and war game this out on air. Again, this came to me, and then I had 20 other things on my plate that I had to eat, and I forgot about this one sitting off, and it kind of fell off the plate. Going around, out doing a man on the street, and selling this house as a gun-free zone signs, or just giving them away. So going around to a liberal area and giving away a sign that says, this house is a gun-free zone, would they take that sign? That's like inviting a criminal into your house. And so the eyewitness to the shooting at YouTube says, man, that was a nerve-wracking experience. I wish I had a gun. So will YouTube now change their campus policies from being a gun-free zone to being a America? That's the question. Will YouTube go from being a gun-free liberal zone YouTube to being America? As soon as you step foot into the facilities that are a gun-free facilities, you just left America. Not here. Ho-ho, buddy.
Odds are, if you step into here and you meet someone, they're probably packing. You know why? Because this is America, bitch. Not your soy boy, soy latte YouTube. Not your soy latte Facebook. We've got people that used to work at Facebook here. It's like a culture shock for them. It's like going into Facebook's like zombiosis land. Like, hi, a soy latte, please. And then you come into InfoWars. It's like, what's going on, brother? Nice to see you today. Like, everybody walk around. People got their guns out. People talking about guns. Alex Jones yelling on the air about the globalist. I mean, that is the fiery passion of life that we have here at InfoWars. But again, so you've got the Iranian woman who shoots up YouTube. She was upset over apparently being censored by YouTube. Whether or not that's the case, we haven't had public comment from YouTube that I've seen. Of course, the family was warning law enforcement about this. It's just a strange deal. You know, and part of the human nature of situations like this is we want to know why. You know, we want to know what motivates an individual to go into a school and kill 17 people. We want to know what motivates a woman. How does a woman get in this situation where she feels it to go to YouTube and shoot people? You know, what process do these people go through to get to that point in life and then to be willing to kill themselves over it? It's really sad. And you can go back and then, you know, I went back and watched some of the videos. Again, the content is very strange, but I guess I could see why they may be censoring some of it. I mean, she does call out YouTube in some of these videos. I mean, even had a pretty good amount of views. She complains she gets 300,000 views on a video and gets a dime. So, you know, maybe she felt abused by YouTube because of that. And then that kind of forced her to go down the memory hole of what perhaps she was dealing with when she lived overseas. It's very sad. It's a very sad situation that somebody can end up like this in this mental state. And then it's even sadder that you could be sitting at YouTube enjoying your lunch, and the next thing you know, someone's firing a gun at you, and then, of course, you are disarmed because that's your company's policies. So I'm going to open up the phone lines here eventually, and if you want to call in and comment on that, you can. Dealing with these shootings, it just hurts your soul to have to cover this. And then it becomes a political issue. And so it's like, instead of figuring out what we can do to stop this, it becomes a political issue fueled by the left to take the guns. And so we never actually reach any solutions because one side of the aisle is tugging the rope in the wrong direction every time. And I'm not really seeing any reports about how she was able to acquire her firearm. And how about, again, it comes down to the mental health. You can tell just by watching some of the videos, there's some sort of a strange mental tick there. There were warnings from family. And what drugs was she on, if any? What pharmaceutical drugs was this shooter on? Why aren't we allowed to know that? If I had to bet, I'd bet she was on some sort of pharmaceutical drug. And of course, there's the video that's going viral where she's in some head gown saying, is Iran better than the United States? And then just strangeness. I think I finally scratched the itch that was bothering me with this YouTube shooting. I think that I finally scratched it while I was contemplating in the break. But first, let me just roll this clip of what I was talking about. Here's the clip of the brother of the shooter saying that they had warned police that she could be up to something.
And she had a problem with YouTube, so we called that cop again and told him that she might, there's a reason she went all the way from San Diego to that.
So there you go. So just like Nicholas Cruz, local law enforcement had warnings about this shooter. And this is, you know, this is an entirely separate issue in and of itself. I mean, who knows how many complaints local law enforcement gets about potential shooters. Now, in the Nicholas Cruz situation, they had about 60 plus warnings. So there's no excuse there. With this situation, you know, I'm not looking to blame local law enforcement. The point is, though, that there's something there that people see what might be coming down the road. And it's usually family. It's usually people closest to these individuals. But I realized why this was bothering me, or what I was trying to, that I couldn't think about in the break, this itch that I had, that I finally think I figured it out here. So you had this story today from PJ Media. Sadistic YouTube deletes channels, demonetizes and censors content, and refuses to respond to press. So here's what this is. YouTube or Google or Alphabet, they're all the same, or they're all different heads on the same beast. They're bullies. That's what this is. They're bullying us. That's what YouTube does. They bully people they don't get along with politically. They bully people that they think have different political views than them. And who knows what the case was with this shooter? Who knows if she was really being actively censored, or if there was something else going on, or if she had legitimate beef or whatever the deal was. I mean, you can look at her, you can go look at her video reports and look at the stuff she reports. I mean, it looks like, you know, she's got the legitimate beef with YouTube. Obviously, I'm not supporting what she did. That's insane. You're going to hell now. But YouTube bullies its users. And that was the itch that I hadn't scratched, because we get bullied by YouTube all day. They say us by name. Block InfoWars. Block Alex Jones. The War Room channel. We can't even go live. We haven't been able to go live on the War Room channel for like 2 months. Why? Because of a song from the Twilight Zone that you can find over 50 different areas of the YouTube. Oh, but we play it and we get banned. See how that works? So we get bullied. And then you go and you realize, okay, Nicholas Cruz was bullied. You go and you look at the Columbine shooters. You look at these other shooters. There's, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, also a common element, but they won't report on that, but they were also bullied. So now you have a situation again, clearly a mental tick. People see that there's a threat. Then you add the element of bullying and they snap. And that's what this is. Again, not blaming YouTube, not pointing fingers here. I'm just saying, why don't people talk more about bullying? You have all these anti-bullying campaigns, and then when you have an individual that was bullied snap and go postal, nobody wants to talk about bullying anymore. Even though they'll say Nicholas Cruz is the victim and the gun is to blame, they won't actually mention the fact that he was victimized by bullying. Well, who bullied him at the school? Maybe there's a reason why some of the voices coming from that high school are so loud. Perhaps they're trying to drown out the bullying that took place there. So YouTube bullies its users, bullies conservatives, laughs about how they do it, laughs about how they bully InfoWars and Alex Jones. I mean, folks, do you realize? But other than like the video game channels and the PewDiePies and the Logan Ryan or whatever his name is, other than those channels, you want to talk about strictly political content on YouTube, Alex Jones and InfoWars is number one by far. It's not even close. Zero competition. What, the Young Turds with their fake inflated numbers. All of their numbers are fake. Go look at any Young Turds video. They get hardly any views, and everybody thumbs them down. Go look at Alex Jones' channel videos. Tens of thousands of views every time. Nothing but thumbs up. I went back and checked. The video that was read... Look, we had a video linked on Drudge for over 24 hours. It only got 100,000 views. My Age Skrillex video that didn't get linked on Drudge has almost 3 million views. If that's not YouTube censoring us and throttling back our numbers, I don't know what is. If you put a link on the Drudge Report for 5 hours, it's guaranteed to get 100,000 views. Guaranteed. 24 hours, 1 million views. Yet somehow that video only has 100,000 views on YouTube. Why do you think that is? Do you think that's to keep us from making money by getting more views? Keep it from being realized that we are the most popular political channel on YouTube? That's why they throttle our numbers down and throttle the Young Turds' numbers up? Don't take my word for it. Go do a little investigating for yourself. It's obvious. It's obvious. So, you know, I think it's time for a new message to start to resonate after some of these shooting events. And I'm not trying to victimize the shooters here. Don't get me wrong. I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And for all the people that say they're anti-bullying, they're awfully silent when one of these people that gets bullied goes postal and starts murdering people and shooting people. So you know what? Maybe the next time you see somebody that looks like they've got some tick and then they're getting bullied and you think it might push them over the edge, maybe that's where you lend a helping hand. Maybe that's where you step up to the plate and try to save an individual and others, potentially, in the path of destruction. Because they're not going to take them off the pharmaceutical drugs. No, they're making too much money. Nobody's talking about that. And we're not going to put away our Second Amendment. So there's no solution there. So maybe it's time for us to start caring about the fellow human being enough to pay attention and make sure they're not about to go shoot up a facility. And again, the family already did that. So it's just amazing. And you know what? Mental health is obviously the big problem here, folks. And that's why we have InfoWarsStore.com. And it's an all-encompassing problem. The toxins in the air, the toxins in the water, the toxins in the drug and the food. That's why we have all of the products at InfoWarsStore.com that detoxify. We've got BrainForce Plus for mental clarity, 50% off. You've got Survival Shield X2, nascent iodine, to combat the fluoride that they put in the water. We've got Living Defense to clean your gut up from all of the rot that's in the food. So we provide answers to the health problems in this country at InfoWarsStore.com. We didn't cause the problems, but we are offering solutions at InfoWarsStore.com.
Warning.
This broadcast is not for the weak-minded.
It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
A lively discussion during the break again, and the crew was reminding me how, you know, YouTube censorship algorithms are so... they're so expansive now that liberal channels are starting to get censored. So now you've got, you know, liberals out there that get a lot of views that are like, well, what the heck? I'm pro free speech. Why is my free speech being censored? And these are fair-minded liberals that aren't even calling for channels like the Alex Jones channel and the War Room channel and the Real News with David Knight to be banned, or Natural News with Mike Adams, or the list goes on. But then they get banned, and it's like, I mean, we get banned, and it's, you know, there's an element of surprise, but we're not surprised because we expect it. We know it's coming. But then they don't expect it. They're not expecting it. So it's an even more of a surprise to them. And then they have to take a step back, and they have to realize there really is an attack on free speech. It's amazing how they won't listen to us until it comes to their front door. It's unbelievable, but that's what we're dealing with. Let's see here. Oh. You know what? Hey, pull up the War Room poll of the day here. And I'll go ahead and give out the phone number, 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. I'll take your comments on anything. But the War Room poll of the day is, what was the most positive news story, in your opinion, so far this week? Trump's approval rating hitting 51%. Trump saying we're going to be pulling out of Syria. Trump sending the military to the border. Or the jobs numbers that keep going up. Right now, the military to the border is the leading vote getter with just over 3,000 votes in the can. I would say I probably agree with that. At least for domestic news, having a border is great. You know, the jobs numbers have been growing, so that's kind of a dated story that just keeps delivering. Trump's approval keeps going up, but it's kind of inconsequential as far as the country is concerned. But having a border is huge. And then pulling out of Syria is big news for geopolitics in the Middle East. That's great. That's great. And we are expecting this announcement to come. In fact, guys, let's go ahead and roll clip number 7 right now. The Pentagon, I believe somebody just made the announcement that they are going to plan on removing troops from Syria. They're kind of dummying it right now, but I do think that's the plan. Here is the clip, though, from the AP. White House to announce future of U.S. troops in Syria relatively soon.
As far as Syria is concerned, our primary mission in terms of that was getting rid of ISIS. We've almost completed that task, and we'll be making a decision very quickly in coordination with others in the area.
Okay. So you're inclined to pull the troops out?
I want to get out. I want to bring our troops back home. I want to start rebuilding our nation. We will have, as of 3 months ago, $7 trillion in the Middle East over the last 17 years. We get nothing out of it.
Wow.
We just passed a $700 billion military budget. Next year, $716 billion, the largest ever passed. We are going to have a military stronger than we've ever had before, by far. That's not exactly a great thing for Russia. Getting along with Russia is a good thing. Getting along with China is a good thing. Getting along with other countries, including your three countries, is a good thing, not a bad thing. So I think I could have a very good relationship with Russia and with President Putin. And if I did, that would be a great thing. And there's also a great possibility that that won't happen. The Mexican border is very unprotected by our laws. We have horrible, horrible and very unsafe laws in the United States. And we're going to be able to do something about that hopefully soon. Hopefully Congress will get their act together and get in and create some very powerful laws like Mexico has and like Canada has and like almost all countries have. We don't have laws. So what we are preparing for the military to secure our border between Mexico and the United States. We have a meeting on it in a little while with General Mattis and everybody.
Did you see that guy who was like trying to talk over Trump? What some weird guy trying to speak over Trump. Anyway, so Trump pretty much addresses it all in that little clip from yesterday. He wants to bring the troops home from Syria. Talks about all the infrastructure building we do in the Middle East to the tune of $17 trillion that should have been invested here. Talks about getting along with Putin. So that's all good news. Of course, now it's developed and gone a step further because, so first you have the Easter caravan. I mean, this is like, I can't even believe this. Easter caravan every year, thousands of illegal citizens make the trek from the Central America countries to the southern border and then make demands as if we owe them something, as if we should just give them shelter. Again, I make the analogy, if a homeless individual or let's say a group of homeless individuals come to your house and knock on the door and say, here's our list of demands, you're going to laugh and close the door, and if they don't get off your porch, call the cops. But somehow these non-citizens from Central America show up at our southern border with a list of demands every year, and we just cater to them. pretty, you know, I mean, you could say that that's very noble of us, very good for us. But we've reached a point where it's too much. It's time for other countries to start doing this. We've been doing it long enough. We just can't afford to do it anymore. So Trump addresses that, then says he's going to send the military to the border. The Pentagon just announced the National Guard is going to be deployed. And so look at the headlines that we have from today. Caravan in Trump's crosshairs stall far from border. Oh, so Trump's policy is effective. The story just went up on Drudge, red linked. Migrant caravan abandons plan to travel to USA border. Wow. So all you have to do is actually address the problem like Trump has, offer a solution like Trump has, and then you solve the problem. Amazing how that works. But that didn't stop Yahoo News from running the headline. Migrants at U.S.-Mexico border say Trump's tough talk will not deter them. Well, good. So we'll send the military. Trump's tough talk won't deter you, hey? Okay. How about the military? How about that? Boy, that deterred you, didn't it? Not coming in with a list of demands anymore, are you? But doesn't that just show you the situation that we got to where, you know, look, the United States of America is the most charitable, I mean, humanitarian. I mean, we have done more stewardship for planet Earth probably than any other country. Now, can you say we've also done a lot of bad? Of course. The illegal invasions, the economic hitmen worldwide, you know, taking over nation states and robbing them blind. Okay, but, you know, when you talk about taking in refugees and charitable donations, America is by far leading the way. And then these people have such arrogance and disdain for us that they show up with a list of demands. You know, maybe if you came to the United States humble and appreciative, maybe we'd open the door. But you want to come here arrogant and inflated by the political left and with a list of demands? Go home. You're drunk. And so now we've put the military at the border, and you are going home. Because guess what you realized? Mexico doesn't want you either. Nope. Mexico doesn't want you either. And now the military is at the U.S. border, so now we have a border. Mexico doesn't want them. Now they're in limbo and they don't know what to do. That's what you get when you have a president that addresses a problem, offers a solution, problem solved. We'll be right back with your phone calls and Shiva Ayodhi Ray in the third hour. Don't go anywhere. Remember when they said rock and roll wouldn't last? I'm still listening to the Rolling Stones, man, because I got a soul. Welcome back to the War Room. Your host, Owen Schroyer, here with you. Phone lines are open, 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. I'll take your calls on anything. Drudge Report has just put up a new headline, top linked. Zuckerberg, you've been scraped, private messages scanned. Now, I was talking to the crew in the break because it's very confusing to me. Now, I've been monitoring this story, and basically it goes like this. The Cambridge Analytica scandal happens. That then winds up at Facebook's desk because they were getting the data from Facebook. So then Facebook's data collection methods are looked into. And it then turns out that Facebook is basically mining all of your data, including private messages. So then it turns out that they're not just mining it, they're archiving it. And so Mark Zuckerberg has to come out and say, oh, that was just a bug. We did not intentionally archive all of your private data. Okay, so he's in all kinds of trouble. He's got testimonies coming up. Facebook is in the crosshairs of a Bust the Trust initiative, if you will. And so again, the story comes main linked on Drudge from CNBC. Zuckerberg says most Facebook users should assume they have had their public info scraped. Now, the crew and I are discussing this. What does that even mean? What does that mean, scraped? I've never heard this term scraped before, or scraping. And Zuckerberg says, we've seen some scraping. I would assume if you had that setting turned on that someone at some point had access to your public information in some way. Of course, the setting is always turned on. You can't turn it off. You agree to it when you agree to the terms and conditions. There's different settings you can go into, like 10 layers deep, 20 layers deep in your Facebook settings to kind of differentiate the way it data collects. Okay, so here's the term. The crew just looked it up. Web scraping or web harvesting or web data extraction is data scraping used for extracting data from websites. Web scraping software may access the World Wide Web directly using the hypertext transfer protocol or through a web browser. Seriously, though, had anyone ever heard of that before? I mean, even people in here that are pretty tech savvy and follow the news, I've never heard of web scraping before. So my theory is, and others agree with me, at least here internally, that this is a mind game and they're using scraped to say scraped because it's one letter difference than scrapped, which essentially means thrown away, gotten rid of. Like, oh, we scrapped your data. Like, we got rid of it. Don't worry about it. We don't have your data. Instead, they say scraped. The average individual doesn't think twice and thinks, oh, scraped, scrapped. Oh, he threw it away. When it's actually meaning, no, we did collect all of it. Oh, my gosh. Here's the deal. If President Trump, and it's not just President Trump, President Trump is the figurehead, he's the leader, he got the ball rolling, and then he got into office. If we, behind President Trump, in the next 2 years, can bust up the liberal monopolies of social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, and if the Justice Department can prosecute treasonous criminals like Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, James Clapper, James Comey, then this country really has a chance. And we really have turned a new leaf. We really have changed the world. We really are on the cutting edge of the second American Revolution and the third Great Awakening. If not, if we cannot bust up the monopolies on social media that are rigging the game with their liberal agenda, if we cannot prosecute and arrest treasonous criminals like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and James Clapper and Jim Comey, I just don't know if this country really has a chance, folks. And you know me, I'm positive, I love America, and I think we can do everything we dream of with focus, with determination. But if you can't jail a criminal the likes of Hillary Clinton, who is essentially, this is an analogy, raping people in the street and getting away with it, there's Clinton again. Just bent over another one and you took him down. Oh, that's just Hillary, though. She gets away with that. There's no intent there, says the FBI. And then Obama spying illegally. The Democrats faking documents to get warrants. If that type of behavior is allowed and gotten away with in this country, then we have no country. We have no hope. We have no justice system. But if we can bring those criminals to justice and bust up the liberal monopolies that are poisoning our minds and poisoning our culture, like Facebook and Google, then we genuinely have changed the world, saved America, saved the world, and initiated the second American Revolution and the third Great Awakening. And that's what we are on the precipice of right now. That's why everything is so insane. That's why every day is so big. That's why they hate Trump so much. That's why they're in full panic mode all day. That's why they ignore fact, ignore evidence, ignore common sense, ignore logic, ignore reason, and just go full on assault of lies against President Trump, against conservatives, against America, against patriots, because this is their last chance. They know If Hillary Clinton can get away with all her crimes and Facebook and Google and Twitter can continue their monopoly with their agenda of social media, they know they can get away with anything. I mean, for God's sakes, they can fund abortion. And these are the things that we have to stop. And if we don't stop them, we will lose our country. And we will lose our future. And that's where we're at, folks. An unbelievable time to be alive. Dr. Shiva Ayyadurai joins me in the next hour. But for now, let's go to the phone lines. Let's start with Derek calling in from North Carolina. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey there, Owen. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Awesome. So I know our time is short, so I'm going to jump right on into it. Thank you for taking my call. So I heard you covering, just to jump to an earlier subject, about the YouTube shootings and about how it was this woman who was doing the shooting and her motive is unclear at this point, et cetera. But something that I found in some articles, some of which are, call them, mainstream websites and news sources, and I was surprised to find it there, reports of some eyewitnesses who said that they saw a shooter that was a man wearing full body armor doing the shooting and not this woman. And obviously the main narrative and most eyewitnesses say it was this woman, just as in Parkland, most people say, and the official story is that it was the kid Nick Cruz that was doing the shooting, but there were other eyewitnesses saying it was a guy in body armor doing the shooting. I'm just wondering, have you guys seen this news? And I mean, to me, it seems like too much of an alignment in the situation.
No. I see. I get where you're coming from, Derek. And there's another element of this that kind of goes unspoken, but I mean, you can understand my hesitation to speak like this. But look. Okay, we can blame the pharmaceutical industries. And here's looks like a comment. William Legate, who's discussing what you're talking about. YouTube employees are saying the shooter walked in wearing full body armor. That's a liberal, too. William Legate saying that. It's like we want to figure out a solution, but we can't figure out a solution until we identify the problem. So the liberals already go with the same problem. The problem has already been established. It's the guns. So they always go to the same thing. We are more discerning and more critically thinking and more logical. So we look for real problems so that we can find real solutions. So we say, is there a pharmaceutical drug connection? Is there a bullying connection? Is there something else? Is there MK Ultra going on? I mean, we also have to realize that in these drastic times of deep state panic, they could be sending out their, operatives out there to start mass shootings. They could be sending out operatives and patsies and MK Ultra brainwashing people to try to destabilize this country and create false narratives and distract from what President Trump is doing. So there's another element that people never discuss, but it's just so out there. Do you have anything else to say, Derek, here in the final 10 seconds?
Yeah, I do. I mean, just my only thing is they're on creating the narrative. You know, we know that they're trying to take away the guns. And not to be too conspiratorial, but is it possible that just as in Parkland, it might be here where they have a patsy and perhaps somebody else entirely, this man.
The American way of life
is under attack. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Well, you've got news breaking now on Robert Mueller. You know what? Robert Mueller. Oh, Robert Mueller, that guy. I'll tell you, that guy. What a douche that guy is. What an un-American scumbag. This story. I can't say what I'd like to say to Robert Mueller right now on air because it's a family show. I'm sorry for already losing it and being inappropriate here. But man, F that guy. Story breaks on CNN. Mueller's team questioning Russian oligarchs. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Mueller is now sitting at the airport in New York and questioning Russian oligarchs right there at the airport, stopping them and searching their electronic devices and reading their private messages. I mean, here's a question. Where's the ACLU? Oh, let me tell you, if Robert Mueller would have stood at the southern border and he would have questioned people crossing over the southern border illegally and reading their text messages, the ACLU would be up his butt immediately saying he's a racist and he has to be jailed. But he goes to the airport and questions Russian oligarchs and reads their electronic devices at the airport like a total insane madman. The ACLU is silent. Do you remember the it was just, yeah, I mean, I've been saying this every day now. Robert Mueller is off the chain. He has no boundaries. He is limitless. He is above the law. He is lawless. He is Super Mueller. This guy needs to be brought down. Trump needs to stop this. This is out of control, man. How is it that Robert Mueller is above the entire world? He can just stop a Russian and say, I'm reading your text messages. I wish that Russian would have beat his ass right there. Excuse me. That's what I would have done. Mr. Mueller, you want to see my text messages? Here it is. Right there, buddy. Oh, yeah. Here's a good one for you to read. Right there. Did you get that one, Mueller? It's just, you want to talk about above the law? So this is why I said what I said in the earlier segment. If we don't bring these people to justice, if we don't prosecute Obama for his crimes, if we don't prosecute Hillary for his crimes, her crimes, if we don't stop Robert Mueller from being totally lawless, boundaryless, limitless in his investigation of a non-existent crime that we know doesn't even exist. Think about it. Robert Mueller is looking for a crime that doesn't exist, and he's been given total freedom to investigate whoever, whatever, whenever, however. Even if it has nothing to do with the supposed crimes he's investigating that everybody knows don't exist. And if we can't stop this, if we can't prosecute Obama, if we can't indict Hillary, then we can't do anything. We have no backbone. We have no spine. We have no testicles. We have nothing. No legs, no arms, no brain. If this guy, Robert Mueller, is allowed to go all over the planet, ask anyone anything, question anybody, indict anybody, then what do we have here? What justice system do we have when he's allowed to do that for crimes that don't exist? Hillary gets away with anything. Obama gets away with anything. We have nothing. We have no country. We have no justice system, no backbone, no testicles. No brain, zero. Every day, Robert Mueller is free to investigate anything he wants, a fossil from the 1600s, and Obama's not in jail and Hillary's not in jail. We get one step closer to losing this country. Robert Mueller must be stopped. Obama must be prosecuted and Hillary must be indicted, or we will not have a country tomorrow. If we can't stop these unabated criminals, Obama, Clinton, Mueller, then we can't do anything. We can't think, we can't walk, we can't breathe. We can't have a country. We can't claim to have a justice system. I'm seriously trying to maintain myself here. Let me say, I'm not joking about this. I am dead serious about this. I wish that the Russian oligarchs that Mueller bullied at the New York airport and read their electronic devices, I wish they would have beat his ass right there on the tarmac and left him there bleeding out. I'm serious. I wish they would have given him a nice pounding and said, go eat dirt, Mueller, you scum. That's what he deserved. He deserved a nice ass kicking. Hey, Mueller, you want to keep questioning Russians? How about we just kick your ass? Oh, man, I'm so sick of Robert Mueller, man. I'm so sick of this deep state. I just want to be free. I just want to have America without a ball and chain on its ankle so that we can sprint across the finish line and lift the entire world up for liberty and freedom and truth and justice like we did in 1776. But we got people like Robert Mueller, people like Hillary Clinton, people like Barack Obama, and people like Elizabeth Warren who want to keep us in the dark ages and bring America down. And yeah, I get mad about that. That's my future. That's my future. So please, the next Russian that Robert Mueller wants to stop in an airport and read your cell phone device, pop him in the mouth for me. All right. Need to find my chi, find my zen for my next guest, Dr. Shiva Aya Duray. One of my favorite guests. He is running against Elizabeth Warren. Oh, all right, Shiva, give me a second to breathe here and calm down as you have just put out a great video where it was actually, I think about a year ago when you first challenged Elizabeth Warren to take the DNA test to prove she's an Indian. Nobody wanted to cover it then. They finally picked up on it here about a month ago. So you've taken another step. And you sent one of your guys out to the streets of Massachusetts to ask people if they think Warren should take the DNA test to prove she's an Indian. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Owen, one of our volunteers was very excited about this because he actually wanted to go on the ground. As you know, we were the first ones back in July of last year. In fact, on June, on Warren's birthday, to send her out a DNA test kit. She returned it. It went viral all over the internet. And then we held a DNA dance party, which she didn't show up to. And then, in fact, I sent her a nice follow-up on Valentine's Day around February 15th. And then shortly thereafter is when one of the pro-Warren, highly liberal newspapers in the Western Massachusetts called the Berkshire Eagle picked up our news and said, you know, why doesn't she take the DNA test that Dr. Idris proposed? And that's what's happened. So what we did was a few weeks ago, one of our guys went out on the street right into Harvard Square, right down the street from where Warren has her office or used to have her office over in Harvard Law School. I think she still has her office. And it was overwhelming. Everyone saying, yeah, she should take the test. In fact, I think in the video, there's in fact someone who's a Democrat who's also appalled. Women, blacks, people of all different backgrounds all agreed that Warren should take the DNA test. So that's what recently occurred. And I think we should have the video. It's out there. Yeah.
We're gonna play that video in the next segment. We're gonna play that video. We're pulling it in right now. And that was the amazing thing about this is, you know, that's the one thing that Elizabeth Warren needs to fear is if this story permeates through to her voter base, to the Democrats that make up Massachusetts, then she's really in danger. Because the average voter may not even know that Elizabeth Warren lied about being an Indian. They may not even know about Shiva Aya Duray's test that she's rejected. So this is how we can get this through the mainstream. This is how we force it out there. And if her own voters realize that she's a coward and a fraud, well, then she's in real trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line, Owen, these were everyday people walking through Harvard Square. And you got to understand, this is Harvard Square, or Cambridge is called the Republic of Cambridge, sort of the center of liberal haven. And the preponderance of people who now agree that they should take the test I sent her is quite enormous. And this was not something we planned. We just went out there and these are random people we spoke to. And I think also in the video, we also asked people, you know, would you vote for a real Indian? And obviously people said yes. Again, people from all different ethnic, racial, gender backgrounds, many of them who are probably pro-Democrat. But I think we really hit on a very, very important item here. It's not just about the fact that she shoplifted identity, but it's really about integrity. And what's even more interesting, Owen, as you know, a number of the establishment fake Trumpers, never Trumper Republican candidates, they said, oh, we should never bring up Warren's identity issue. It's not a good thing to do. Now they're also trying to take credit for what we actually led and pioneered. But that's the way these career politicians are. They do nothing new, nothing innovative. And then after something's done, they try to take credit for it. But that's not sticking right now in Massachusetts. They know that the real Indian is the one who put forward the DNA test.
Well, and you are literally the definition of new and innovative. I mean, that's just what you've been your entire life, from when you created email to now your campaign to try to de-seat Elizabeth Warren. It's been totally fresh. And, you know, it's funny thinking about this. I've made different analogies, but to me, it's like the, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Idiocracy by Mike Judge, but
Got, that's what I call the people at the Postal Service, idiocrats. And we should talk about that too.
Well, but that's what it is, though. It's like this election, you versus Elizabeth Warren. This is like, you know, President Camacho versus Luke Wilson's character in Idiocracy, where he's deemed the smartest man in the world because he can read. Yeah. So he's the smartest man in the world versus President Camacho, who's just a muscle head with a necklace. So it's like it shouldn't even be a race, you know, smartest guy in the world versus muscle head necklace. And then musclehead necklace is the most popular. It's like, that's what we're dealing with. Here's Elizabeth Warren, a total fake, a total fraud, a total liar, versus Dr. Shiva Iyadure, a doctor, a brilliant inventor, innovator. It's like, this is a no-brainer, but people are totally brainwashed. That's the problem.
Well, the interesting thing, Owen, is if we get in front of people, be it left or right, as long as people are sane, we're able to convince them. That's what's fascinating. I mean, I think, you know, we're holding these real Indian tea parties, or we call them chai parties. And we had a lot of Democrats come to it. And all they said was, wow, I didn't know this about Elizabeth Warren. I didn't know she voted for Monsanto. I didn't know she lied on her Harvard application. Wow, the difference between you and her is night and day, or for that matter, any of the other candidates. So if we get in front, Owen, it's game, set, match. So our view right now is it's just about getting visibility and out there. We get out there, we win. And that's the track that we're on. Recently you talked about innovation. President Trump tweeted out about Amazon, right? About Amazon essentially stealing the Postal Service's lunch. It's something, you know, in 1997, I approached the Postal Service and I told them, look, you guys should get on the bandwagon with email and offer a public email service. And you got to understand, most of these guys are a bunch of bureaucrats, frankly, a bunch of idiots. And they said, what are you talking about? You're a young 30-year-old. We run a very large enterprise, 500,000 people. We don't need to get into this email business. Fast forward to 2011, Postal Service is going out of business. I again hit them hard. I think Fast Company and Time Magazine picked up. And I said, look, there is a billion-dollar opportunity if the Postal Service gets into the 21st century with digital services. That led to the Inspector General of the Postal Service, Dave Williams, who contacted me, in fact, funded my research foundation about $100,000. We wrote two reports, Owen, showing how the Postal Service could make money through email services and also what we call the last mile. I defined it as international small business commerce, essentially letting small businesses really use the Postal Service. Sounds a lot like what Amazon's doing now.
Well, and it's just so funny to me because that to me is like common sense. I can't tell you how many times that idea crossed my head. Like, why doesn't the government just issue an email address instead of a mailing address? And think about all the paper you would save. I get all this stuff mailed to me. I throw it away immediately. Where are the liberals saying, let's save the trees and quit wasting this mail? All right, we got another segment with Dr. Shiva Iyadure. Don't miss it. We're going to play his video of people in Massachusetts saying, Elizabeth Warren, take the test. Volunteer for Shiva Iyadure, ShivaForSenate.com, went out on the streets near Harvard to ask the voters in Massachusetts if they think Elizabeth Warren should take the DNA test. Here was their response.
I just got my 23andMe DNA testing kit in the mail. All I got to do is send some of my saliva, and I'll know in a few short days whether I'm a real Indian or not. I want to challenge Elizabeth Warren to do the same. I'm calling this now the real Indian versus fake Indian challenge. Elizabeth, why don't you do this? It's really, really simple.
MIT grad and entrepreneur Dr. Shiva Ayadure even sent Warren a DNA kit.
Return to sender, Elizabeth Warren's Indian-born challenger for Senate, making it dig by sending her a DNA ancestry test. VA Shiva Ayadure posting the images to Twitter to prove it, writing, quote, I'm deeply saddened Senator Warren refused my thoughtful, gift-wrapped birthday gift, the 23andMe DNA test kit, most unfortunate, hashtag fake Indian. The move, a response to Warren's past claims of being an American Indian, which have since been unfounded.
Hi, this is Alan. I'm here with my friend
Mark,
and we're all asking the same question. Elizabeth Warren, should she just take a DNA test?
Yeah.
Probably.
She should take the test.
Probably.
Okay. That's the thing. Should she take the test?
Yeah, she should. Yeah. Because if you're 100% sure that you know you're Native American, then why not take it?
There's no doubt, so you should be scared to take it.
True. Joe Cannone here is a Democrat, and the question we're asking people here today is, should Elizabeth Warren take a DNA test to prove whether or not she's Native American? What's your take, sir?
No, I take the test. Yeah, why not?
Why not? Take the test.
All right, I'm not a great fan of hers.
Yeah.
My wife can't stand her.
I think the Pocahontas reference lends itself to it, maybe yes.
So maybe yes. We think she should take the test. Agree. I think she should take the test. You know.
I think so.
Yeah, prove so Trump wrong. Take the test. Oh.
Let's prove it, okay?
Whether or not she should take the test.
I mean, I can see from the perspective of a Native, if I was Native American ancestry, but she shouldn't be using that. If it's not accurate, she shouldn't be using that to try to get votes. It's not okay, because there's a whole population of people that's their life. And it's, you know, not okay to steal someone's history.
Should she take the test?
Well, I think she should. Yeah. Just to clear things up.
Great party. I got 100 people here.
The DNA dance party is out of control right now. A lot of high energy. Now, you have invited Elizabeth Warren, right?
I have. I invited Elizabeth Warren. People know she lives actually right down the street in her big teepee down there. And she works over at Harvard Law School. But I'm really disappointed. We don't know where she is. You know, we have the personal genetic test kit right here for her.
Images of the DNA test kit that Shiva Ayadure sent to Elizabeth Warren, and she rejected it.
The Berkshire Eagle, Massachusetts newspaper that endorsed you in 2012, that the issue of your ancestry will come up, and they're suggesting that you put it to rest, saying, quote, that Elizabeth Warren should screw up her courage and take the spit test, a DNA test, that a positive test would permanently resolve the issue while possibly shutting down President Trump. Would you be willing
to
take a DNA test to put this issue to rest?
Look, let's start again where you started. I'm not running for president.
Oh, she wouldn't answer the question. Coward. Fake Indian. Real coward.
I think the big issue here is you have someone who says that they fight for the working people, fight for the poor, fight for people of color, and she has exploited that for her own benefit.
Now, hypothetically, if there was an Indian man, an ostensibly Indian man running against her, a real Indian, per se, do you think he would have a good chance against her potentially being a co-Indian?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think he would have an advantage over her, potentially, if she's not telling the truth?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. Shiva Ayadure has a volunteer go out on the streets near Harvard and ask the people out there if they think Elizabeth Warren should take the DNA test. Of course, they all say yes. Dr. Ayadure, where can people find that video and share it with friends? Is it on your website, shivaforsenate.com?
We're going to put it right up on Shiva for Senate. In fact, shortly it's going to be up on YouTube. You know, if you just go to Dr. V.A. Shiva, my YouTube channel. We wanted to give you guys the exclusive, Owen, so you guys have it first, and we're going to put it up within the hour.
So there you go. It just debuted right now for our listening audience on the War Room, a great real man-on-the-street video. And, you know, amazingly, see, that's the thing, too. Most people are kind of just on the surface of politics. They really don't delve deep. So they might see the story of a DNA test. But then when you go and you ask them and they are forced to answer, they think logically and reasonably, and they say, of course she should take it. Why shouldn't she take it? She says she's Indian. She says Trump is lying about her not being Indian and calling her Pocahontas. So of course she should take it and take the test. Of course she's not taking the test. Why do you suppose that is, Dr. Ayadi Ray?
Well, you know, Warren claims that she believes in science. Remember when the climate change issue discussion came up, when she said, I believe. It's interesting, the word that she used was believe, as though science is some religion. But anyway, she said, I believe in climate, I believe in science. But when it comes to using modern genetic tools to validate whether she's a fake Indian or a real Indian, she's unable to do that, which essentially shows that she doesn't believe, she believes in science to the extent when it's valuable to her, right? When it's valuable to her to support unfounded claims that the Paris Accords are going to somehow lower pollution, when in fact it's going to help her buddies like Al Gore and Goldman Sachs, then she quote unquote believes in science. But to use science when it's very easy to validate whether she lied or not, whether she's a fake Indian or a real Indian, she doesn't want to do it. So basically you're talking about integrity. And this is how, you know, Warren, and I think you use the word deep state, Owen, when you were discussing Mueller. Look, Warren is the face of the deep state. She's the face of the military industrial academic complex. Here's a woman who claims that she cares for people, yet she voted to support the Monsanto Protection Act, which lets one of the most evil companies destroy the soil in this country, poison us, and then she supports them. Same thing with big banks. She says she stands for the small guy. She supported Dodd-Frank, which eviscerated 1,200 small banks. Again, another example of hypocrisy. And then when it comes to her own life, here's a person who claims that she cares for minorities, used affirmative action for herself to make her way into Harvard. And that's racism. Racism is not, in my opinion, you know, people may disagree with me, people using the N-word or other words, and this is you're talking to a person of color here. But what's real racism when people use race to advance and benefit themselves and monetarily benefit themselves. That's what Warren did. And she continues to use racism, right? When you call her out, call her a Pocahontas, she calls the people racist. So you're talking about someone who's fundamentally part and parcel of the deep state, the Democrats, the establishment Republicans. So I think what we did going among the people, Owen, it says it all.
Well, and it's
by the people, for the people, take the test.
And that's why you want to enlighten people. And it's amazing, because if she lied about that to get there, how do I know she hasn't built her entire career on a pile of lies? How do I know this woman isn't a total fraud? That's my assumption. ShivaForSenate.com. That is how you support him. Thank you for coming on, Dr. Ayadi Ray.
Warning. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
I think I will have a cigar. You know, there's so many oddities. I'm such a weird person. So we put out the poll of the day at War Room Show on Twitter. The question is, what is the best news of the week to you so far? Trump saying we're going to pull out of Syria. Trump's approval, it's 51%. Trump sends the military to the border, or job numbers keep growing. We've got over 4,000 votes on that. There is the poll right there at War Room Show on Twitter. Military to the border leading the way. And then it's the same thing. People are just so weird. Whenever I do a tweet like this, or on the War Room Show, when I put a poll out, so I put the poll out and the question is that it's there for you. And then people always respond like, why didn't you put this up? And it's like, that's not the question. The question is there. I'm not asking you about an entirely different thing. It's like, can you focus on the subject at hand? And then you have all these liberals that get on there and they say, best news is Alex Jones getting sued. Best news is InfoWars getting censored. As if that's some sort of victory when we're the ones having the victories. So they have pseudo victories that are actually losses for them. It's very strange. And then the same thing is happening with this Chinese this Chinese tariffs deal. Again, like, this is the type of thing where I say something that I'm not hearing anyone else say, other than, of course, here at InfoWars. We've talked about it, but, like, when I follow the news all day, I've heard nobody talk about this. Everybody talks about Chinese tariffs. Isn't that going to be good for us? Like, am I losing my mind and sanity here? If China is going to put these tariffs on these products and they're going to say, okay, well, we're basically going to tax you more for sending stuff here, or if you want to get products from China, we're going to tax you more on that too. Well, isn't the answer obvious? Quit dealing with China. Good. Good. Now we'll manufacture our own goods here. Wow. Brilliant. Now we'll do trade with another country that's not raking us over the coals in deficit. That's a good thing. And they report on it like, ooh, no, not, oh, China's raising tariffs, bad, bad. We support, no, China good, America bad. Yes, no. China good, America bad. My response is, okay, China makes tariffs. Okay, screw them. What? I don't need China. Well, all your goods are made in China. Well, that's the problem. So the solution is let's build them in America. Now China's basically saying, okay, build products in America, please. Why don't we do it? And so Trump says, okay. Wall Street Journal headline, manufacturing industry has strongest jobs increase in 3 years. Yeah, manufacturing industry's back. It's back, baby. Private payrolls grow by 241,000 in March versus the estimated 205,000. Just another jobs estimation number shattered ever since Trump became in office. Because all of these estimations are numbers from kind of what was happening in the Obama administration, which was killing American economy and jobs growth. So Trump gets in and actually builds it. You shouldn't be surprised by all these positive numbers. It's simple. It's like Roger Stone said, we have an American in the office, not an anti-American. This is ridiculous. This is from Hawaii News Now. Hawaii's low unemployment rate masks underlying problems. You know what the problem is, folks? Because the unemployment rate in Hawaii is so low now, they can't even find people to hire. Everyone's working, so they can't even find anyone to hire. So how about all of the liberals that are leaving California, the hellhole, the tax refugees that are leaving California and going to Texas? Go to Hawaii! Don't destroy Texas, please! Oh, there it is. The unemployment rate in Hawaii hitting record lows. And so Hawaii, I mean, you know, they don't even know what to do. They're like, wow, everyone's working. This is a problem. I like working. Like, am I just, so, am I a freak or something? I don't know. It's just, even before I worked here, even when I'd be grinding it out, working 7 jobs, I always enjoyed it. But in China, that's a problem. Or excuse me, in Hawaii, that's a problem. Oh, what do you know? We're not see, there you go again. So now not everything's being manufactured in China. We're not getting everything from China. We're having to rely on ourselves. Everyone's working again. The economy's booming again. I mean, it's so obvious. It's like, duh. But the general population somehow doesn't get it. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Franklin has been waiting for a while. Thank you for waiting, Franklin, calling in from the swamp in D.C. Go ahead, Franklin.
Owen, thanks for taking my call. Matt Bracken was on the other day with Alex, and he was predicting what the deep state was going to do in response to our winning against them. And he was predicting that they would attack stadiums with spectators in them. But it's worse than that. The plan they have is going to take place in the next 37 days, and they're going to attack commencement ceremonies. They're going to kill school students and parents at the same time.
What, you think with graduation season coming up, is that what your concern is?
The ultimate unthinkable, yes.
Like colleges and stuff?
Howard University.
Interesting.
And guess who's going to shoot up all the African-American students, white nationalists, civil war, race-based civil war. That's what they're going to go for.
But here's it. I do agree that's what the globalists want. They would love that. That's how they could bring America to its knees and disrupt the momentum of the Trump presidency. But, you know, it's not going to be a legitimate civil war because there isn't an actual principle being fought over. I mean, what you're going to have is a bunch of brainwashed minions of the globalist left that think they're liberal, that are just going to be marched out onto the street as cannon fodder to die for the globalists. So it's not, I mean, does that make sense to you? It's like the same thing. It's not going to be an actual, like, if they tried to divide us on race, it's not going to work. Yes, you'll have white people that are racist that will buy into it. Yes, you'll have black people that are racist that will buy into it. But the average black American, white American, they don't care about that. They're not buying into it. They see through it. So it would be like, it would just be a total stage. It would be a total setup to create this civil war, have the brainwashed minions go out in the streets as cannon fodder to die for the globalist just to disrupt the Trump presidency. But some of the crew in here thinks that you sound very educated on this. I'm not sure if you have a reason to say 37 days or Howard University. I understand the racial aspect. Do you have a background in military, Franklin, or are you experienced in this field?
I don't want to give out any more information than I have to, but what I'm saying is if they can't pull it off at Howard, which is where they'd like to do it, they'll do it at Grambling, or they'll do it. But it's a target-rich environment. They can do it. If they want to kick off a civil war, it's the perfect opportunity because there's so many ceremonies that are going to be unguarded going on. It's the perfect soft target.
Oh, my God. Franklin. I tell you, it's a kick to the gut just thinking about that, because you know that they would do it and you know how the media would report on it, and you just, I mean, you've said it already.
Disturbing.
It's very disturbing. Franklin, thank you so much for the call from the swamp. Hope to hear from you again sometime. Folks, we just have to realize, and we know this, I don't know if the left will ever realize this, but we're all human, we're all American, okay? And if we hate one another and want to fight one another, then we will all lose our humanity and we'll all lose our country. And that's what we have to stop. I mean, that is the truly globalist agenda right there.
Well, I won't back down.
All right, final segment of the War Room for today. Want to let you know I will be out of the studio for the next 2 days. So thanks in advance to Rob Dew and the rest of the crew for filling in for me while I am gone. I will be back next Monday. Let's hit some of these headlines, and I promise I'm going to clear out these final three callers, guys. Paul Joseph Watson has the story right now at Infowars.com. Alex Jones to make National Press Club speech addressing lawsuits against Infowars. So all of you brainwashed minions are celebrating the lawsuits against us. Understand that you're actually celebrating our empowerment. That's right. These lawsuits, thanks to God's providence, will only make us stronger, will only make us more powerful. So please celebrate us getting bigger and more powerful. Thank you so much. And of course, next Tuesday, Alex Jones is doing a press conference from the National Press Club at in D.C. to address these lawsuits and the attack on the First Amendment. Let me clear through the rest of these headlines here. Colorado Rockies home opener could be coldest in franchise history. You had the New York Yankees home opener that I think had snow. So much for global warming. It's still record cold, record snows. Billionaire retailer wants to wake up Brazil with presidential bid. You've got Operation Car Wash or Yava Jato going on right now in Brazil. Bolsonaro, an anti-establishment president, Tener and other former politicians have been indicted and charges brought against them. So Brazil is draining their own swamp. And now you've got another person making a bid for presidency running. I'm not sure if he'll run a similar campaign to Bolsonaro, but it sounds like the same type of anti-establishment message. And this guy comes from the private sector. That is Flavio Rocha. And they're also trying to get their own Second Amendment out there in Brazil. Of course, President Trump's approval rating hits 51% today as well. Oh, and you know what? Before I go to these callers, I haven't plugged this hour. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. You've seen what we've done here. We're also working on hiring new people, new reporters, more crew. It's incredible everything we do with the staff we have here. It's basically we put out per individual three times output what an average member of the media puts out. That's what we do at InfoWars, and we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com so that we can quit burning ourselves out so much in this fight for survival. Big specials at InfoWarsStore.com, 25% off Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine. That is a must-have. 50% off, last chance for this special, the Mind and Body Combo Pack. That's the Real Red Pill and the Brain Force Plus. If you've been noticed, I've been highly energized this broadcast. That's because I did the Mind and Body Challenge Pack at the beginning of the show. Real Red Pill and Brain Force Plus. This is all at InfoWarsStore.com. We've got ball hats. We've got T-shirts, all kinds of other supplements. Try the Immune Goggle. This is actually a really amazing product. Freshens your breath. Good for your immune system. Gives you a little nascent iodine. Gives you a little colloidal silver. Just like a trifecta of effectiveness from Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle, 50% off all sizes of that. So you got the little spray bottle, and then you've got some other sizes as well. Of course, it's all at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how we stay on the air and independent. Let's go to the phone lines now to conclude this broadcast on a Wednesday. Let's go to Daniel calling in from Virginia. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, what's going on, Owen?
Just doing a broadcast.
I hear you, man. I just want to call in and let you know that the President Trump is going to be attending the an event tomorrow in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. I think it's a town hall. And it's on, there's an article by, I think it's from the Registered Herald, written by Carolyn Castor, I think that's her name. And it details about he's going to be doing an event to be talking about tax reform. And I think they include on here, this is his fourth visit to the state of West Virginia since 2017 inauguration there. And thought I might run that by you. Figured y'all people probably want to know, and everybody else that's listening to this radio broadcast, and as far as his event coming up tomorrow in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. And the other topic I was wanting to bring up, I was trying to call in based on this topic, and I wanted to let you know that I was getting receiving calls from a company by the name of Mercer, and it's a consulting firm, because I dialed the 888-201-2204 number. And
yeah, that's the Mercer. That's the Mercers. They're behind Cambridge Analytica. They helped get Bannon and Kellyanne Conway into the administration. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was getting them, and then they turned around, directed me to Merrill Lynch, an insurance company.
No. So, well, I don't know anything about that.
It was absolutely mind-boggling, weird. Why would a consulting firm would have the same number that y'all have when you dial in that number? It don't make no sense.
Yeah, I don't know anything about a Merrill Lynch connection. That's very strange. Perhaps maybe we can look into that. But yeah, as far as the Mercers are concerned, again, the billionaires that have political influence behind the Cambridge Analytica, and they helped get Bannon and Conway involved in the Trump administration. Thank you so much for the call, Daniel, and for letting us know about Trump's speech in West Virginia tomorrow. We'll be sure to check that out. Let's go to Don calling in from New York. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, Owen, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
Hear you loud and clear.
Owen, wanted to say thanks for taking the call up here in New York. We're big fans. We love you out here, man. And I was just calling to bring up the report that came out yesterday about Mueller. And it's the funniest thing, or it's the craziest thing, because I'm looking on Twitter and all the, you know, the liberals and the lefties, it's like they're celebrating this. And I don't know. I wanted to see what your thoughts were, because they're like delusional. It's like Mueller time. They're partying. It's ridiculous.
No. It is weird. No. They have lifted up Mueller as like some sort of hero. I mean, he's literally the super Mueller to them. Some lawless, totally fruitless, borderless, boundless, you know, just does wherever he wants, goes wherever he wants in this investigation. I mean, it's absurd. It is really one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
I don't understand. But the thing I'm trying to say is that the report came out basically saying the opposite of what they're celebrating. It's like you read some of these people's and what they're trying to say. Oh.
Well, they don't read the report.
There you go.
No surprise there.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But anyway, I just figured I'd bring it up because I thought it was pretty funny how they're going nuts and they're celebrating basically the opposite of what the report is saying.
It's the same dynamic. It's the same dynamic, Don, where I go out on the streets of Austin, Texas, and I list off all the points of Trump's tax plan, and then I say it's Bernie's, and the liberals love it. They don't have any education. They don't read. They don't have information. They have buzzwords and superficial virtue signaling terms and phrases of endearment that they use. There's no intellect. There's no knowledge.
100%. 100% right. Well, anyway, man, thanks for taking the call. And wanted to say that, again, up here in New York, we're big fans of InfoWars, big fans of you, Owen, and keep it going, man. We need you guys doing what you're doing.
All right, big love to New York and Don. Thank you so much. Final caller of the day. Let's go to Javier calling in from Florida. Go ahead, Javier.
Hey, how's it going, Owen? Thanks for taking my call, man. First time, long time.
All right.
I was calling because I've been seeing all these videos going around Twitter and YouTube of Mr. Hogwash and him saying that the shooting was going on while he was at the school at 9:52. And why is no one calling this kid out on that stuff right there? Like, it just blows my mind.
The whole thing is just so strange, honestly. For me personally, it's gotten so strange to a point where it's like so obvious at this point that there is something behind this whole deal with David Hogg and the shooting and the stand down. It's like, why even bother on reporting on it at this point? It's like, if you can't see this for yourself, if you don't have the brain capacity to look at this for yourself and break it down, well, how am I going to help you?
Yeah, it's like, I see it. I see the videos where you guys have a report on InfoWars. It's a Vice video where even his father's saying he wasn't at the school when it happened. How's this kid a survivor of something he didn't even...
Yeah, you've got first... Oh, yeah, no. You've got all these videos. You've got him saying, my sister had 5 friends die. My sister had 3 friends die. My sister had 2 friends die. So he doesn't remember how many sister's friends died. He doesn't remember where he was at what time or how he got into a closet to film a video or how he was shooting a video during a drill or how many miles he rode on his bike. I mean, is he delusional? Is he mental? Or is he a conscious liar? I mean, I don't know. I know he's a camera hog. I know that he's the mouthpiece of the left right now, so they use a child. And then they say, oh, you can't insult him. He's a child. Well, screw you. That does it for me this week. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.